No wonder he turned out the way he did. Did you see what his mother was like? The pernicious songs of rebellion and social upheaval she chose to sing. No doubt infecting her children with her right on social justice concern and her so-called standing alongside the poor and the marginalised. Not quite the gentle Virgin Mother with her simpering smile to grace a galaxy of icons and another million halo-encircled profiles. See her flouting all the social norms. An unmarried teenager, by all accounts. A homeless refugee on the run from the authorities, they say. What kind of influence is that to have on a child's development? With what kind of radical disruptive message was she going to indoctrinate her son? Red Mary, passionate for the downfall of the proud, resolute and assured in her solidarity with the poor and oppressed. What kind of lullabies was she singing to her firstborn? He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. Say what you mean, Mary. Come off the fence. There have been plenty of protest songs over the centuries and across the world. It's been seen as a way of bringing about change, singing truth to power. You might remember Pussy Riot in Moscow, jailed for their protest song, Punk Prayer, Mother of God, Drive Putin Away. The song, which they described as a punk supplicatory prayer, borrowing its opening from the refrain from Sergei Rachmaninoff's Ave Maria. And in the song, they invoked the name of the Virgin Mary, urging her to get rid of Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin, claiming that she would support them in their protests. By a strange, sad irony, the stirring words of the iconic hymn to communism, the Internationale, speaks out against tyranny and oppressive abuse of power. Arise, ye prisoners of starvation, arise, ye wretched of the earth, for justice thunders condemnation, a better world's in birth. No more tradition's chains shall bind us, arise, ye slaves, no more enthrall, the earth shall rise on new foundations, we have been not, we shall be all. In a world of rebel songs, the somewhat bloodthirsty Marseillaise can stir the heart. Arise, children of the fatherland, our day of glory has arrived. Against us the bloody flag of tyranny is raised, the bloody flag is raised. Do you hear in the countryside the roar of those ferocious soldiers? They're coming right into your arms to cut the throats of your sons, your comrades. To arms, citizens. Form your battalions. The Wolf Tones version of A Nation Once Again was voted number one song in the world by the BBC World Service. For freedom comes from God's right hand and needs a godly train, and righteous men must make our land a nation once again. While Scots feel a surge of civic pride, a sense of being on the side of liberty and human dignity when they warm to the words of Robert Burns' Scots Wha Hae. By oppressions, wars and pains, by your sons in servile chains, we will drain our dearest veins, but they shall be free. Lay the proud usurpers low, tyrants fall in every foe, liberties in every blow, let us do or die. Well, any American visitors with us will be placing their hand on their heart in honour of their country's commitment to the values of humanity and justice for all. Our country now from thee claim we our liberty, in freedom's name, guarding homes, altar fires, daughters of patriot sires. Their zeal our own inspires, justice to claim. Mary's anthem to change, her tilt at the citadels of power, is not out of place in such radical company. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. Hers is a true rebel song. It points to a Christ who will assault the fortresses of the proud, and with the power of his truth, challenge the religious establishment with the simple grandeur of his gospel. And it makes clear beyond peradventure where the commitment of God lies with the despised and the outcast, with the broken, the fragile and the defeated. In the comment section of the Times newspaper last Tuesday, the columnist Melanie Phillips makes this point. Tyrants understand that the most dangerous threats to their power are the voices raised against them. The Asian theologian J. Padmore puts it this way: often the cries of the poor and the oppressed are mute. They have neither words nor sounds. Often they are never heard except in the deepest recesses of their own broken hearts. And he goes on to say that it is the church's task, in the name of Jesus, Son of Mary, to pick up these muted sounds and make them audible for the world to hear. Mary is right, and our readings and carols remind us, whether we want to be reminded or not, it's going to be hard to find yourself near her son if you insist on your pride and prerogatives and power. You will not find him so readily among the great and the influential. Rather, you will find Mary's son out there in the cold with the losers and the lost. When we hear it, sing it, the story is full of mixed messages, options and alternatives, of glory and gold and gifts, of humility and vulnerability. The story is crammed with great mysterious kings with their treasures and bleary-eyed humble shepherds with their questions and their gruff wonder. Messages of welcome and affirmation, stories of danger, rejection and hate. Messages of new life and inevitable death. Gold of kingship, myrrh of the ice-cold tomb. Messages of humanity and divinity. The child, warm flesh, vulnerable and compact. God with us, the miracle of the incarnation. History and drama intermingled to make the greatest story ever told. Our readings and ancient carols remind us that they will all be there for us. As we arrive tomorrow at Christmas morning, angel voices bidding welcome, wicked kings ordering slaughter, a child's cry as it embraces life, the wail of mothers as they weep for their massacred innocence, refugees seeking a place of safety. We must never think this is a simple narrative, easily grasped and understood. And in the human response to the event, even now, all the crossed lines and complexity, the increase in the suicide rate happening at the very time when the world is supposed to be at its most happy, the contrast between rich and poor never more stark and painful, the sumptuous presence and the haunting debt, the urge to please and provide, and deep anxiety about how to pay for it all, families coming together when they can, and the shocking pain of separations and ancient quarrels felt all the more sorely. Families happily complete and together. Families feeling the twist of painful loss and cruel fractures. Peace, the song. War, the reality. The air is filled with the mixed feelings of Christmas. And none more searching than the tension between those for whom this is an event of profoundest personal religious significance and those who want it stripped of any kind of religious import. A holiday, pure and simple. In no way a holy day, thank you very much. The headline was truly eye-catching: Jute, jam, but no Jesus. The Scotsman newspaper drew attention to the fact that the great city of Dundee, famous for its jute industry and its jam production, had decided to take the Christ out of Christmas and make it official policy to strip Christmas in all aspects of any particularly Christian dimension for fear of causing offence to unbelievers or to those of a different faith, thereby inventing a kind of vanilla Christmas, bland and inoffensive and neutral, magnolia and meaningless. It's an option. The air is filled with more than angel voices. It's filled with mystery and intrigue, choices and interpretations. Each Christmas season, the issue remains: how much do we let ourselves understand this event? How much do we let it reach us? Do we prefer the lens coated in Vaseline to soften the edges of harsh realities of poverty and power? The lowing cattle and a soft lullaby, allowing us to forget the sharp, powerful voice of Red Mary, who sings her songs of protest that challenge the way things are. Red Mary, who dares us to look for a better world, a different way, to listen to another voice, offering another kind of world, another way of being, his way. How soon will the songs fade into the night? Our songs and her song. How long will the story stay with us? Will we, like Mary, ponder these things in our heart?